Hey, all you nerds out there, are you looking for more wrestling content or podcasts? Then go on over to Facebook, Spotify, iTunes, Twitter, and SoundCloud, and check out NXT and We with PJ and Brett. These fellow nerds review every single NXT episode and also have their very own wrestling interview series, among other fun stuff. So go check out NXT and We today with PJ and Brett. Also, A-Rock Designs. I want to take a minute to give a quick shout out to A-Rock Designs. That is spelled A-R-O-C-K-K Designs. A-Rock Designs is ran by Ashley Rodriguez. She makes all those cool wrestling cups you see floating around. So if you want to get your hands on any custom merchandise, hit up Ashley Rodriguez at A-Rock Designs. If you can think it, she can make it. Last but not least, do you love wrestling and do you want to talk more about wrestling? Then head on over to Wrestling Review Society on Facebook. WRS is ran by my good friend Kevin Rodriguez. Kevin interviews your fave pro wrestlers every week and has the most amazing free, that's right, free giveaway. All you have to do is join Wrestling Review Society on Facebook and you could be the next big winner. This week's episode is brought to you by Design by Dunbar. If you need a logo design, flyers, e-commerce, website, or anything at all, go check out Designs by Dunbar at www.facebook.com/designbydunbar.
Hey y'all, this is CJ Cruz and you're listening to the Nerd of Wrestling Podcast.
And welcome to episode 19. of What's Up Wrestler, a podcast by Nerds of Wrestling. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio, and my guest at this very time is CJ Cruz. What is going on, CJ? How you doing today?
Not much, player, sitting on the couch.
Sounds awesome, man. Are you going to be tuning into Raw tonight?
I will, just because last night was interesting.
Let's talk a little bit about last night. What were your thoughts on it? Money in the Bank.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a great show all around. I loved the way they ended it. Can we talk about how Baron Corbin committed murder?
I mean, literally, dude, he committed murder on, like, live TV, and nobody's saying anything about that.
Fantastic. It's so entertaining to watch.
I mean, you know, I had a lot of complaints about, you know, Money in the Bank. People saying, oh, it sucked, it wasn't that good. I liked the show as a whole. I thought it was a good show. It was okay, okay. And the Money in the Bank match was good, very entertaining. I feel like they could have done a little more with it. The ending was not a fan at all. I wasn't a fan of Asuka winning, and I was definitely not a fan of Otis winning.
Okay. Who was your pick to win?
So my picks were Aleister Black and Lacey Evans.
Okay. I like that pick. That's a good pick.
How about you, man? Who were your picks?
I was definitely going with Lacey Evans, but for some reason I was going with Otis.
Okay. You know, but you got to give it to the WWE. They see a lot in Otis, and they're definitely not messing with his character, and definitely trying to their best they can with what they could do with him.
Yeah, it's organic. That's what it is. You know, Otis is an organic character that fits him. You know, and it's WWE is doing the best that they can to utilize that organicness from him. So it's essentially it'll be easier for him to be his character. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I completely understand what you're saying, man. But other than that, like with wrestling, Money in the Bank last night, I don't know if you heard the news about today all over social media. Becky Lynch is relinquishing her title.
Oh no!
Yeah. I don't know what the rumors are. People are saying, you know, she's preggo. You know, which would be crazy if that's the case. But, you know, good for her if, you know, I guess if that's the case. I don't know what's going to happen on Raw. So it's going to be interesting to see.
You know, whatever happens, if that is the case, you know, it's it doesn't necessarily mean it's the end. It just, you know, it's a timeout. It's a, hey, it's time to regroup. It's time to for her to focus on her life a little bit. If that's the case, you know. But I'm assuming the door is always going to be open.
Oh, 100%. Hopefully it's a break for both Rollins and Lynch.
Yeah.
No, well, obviously Lynch, if that's the case, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens when Raw is on and everything. But enough about WWE, man. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about CJ Cruz. How did CJ Cruz become Mr. CJ Cruz?
It's such a weird story how CJ Cruz came about. You know, when I actually started wrestling on shows, my original name was CJ Castillo. You know, I wanted to stick to my Spanish heritage and kind of figure out something like that. And I don't know, Castillo was just never, it never stuck. And it was just something that I just put together. Then after that, I kind of, you know, decided, all right, let's do CJ Taylor. Because up in Maine, I was doing a kind of like a lover boy gimmick. And I would walk out with roses, and I would hand roses out to the fans and stuff like that. And it was fun. It was a very fun character, and I got to be CJ Taylor in Chaotic, which was nice. And I got to be AG sign guy, his like stagehand kind of guy, which is part of the gimmick we were doing. And it was fun. But then I got to a point where like I knew it. You know, CJ Taylor was just a weird name, and it was never going to stick. So I remember being at a show, and the promoter looked at me. He's like, are you using another name tonight? I was like, I'm not sure yet. He goes, you need to use a new name tonight. I said, okay, let's use CJ Cruz. And from there on, it stuck.
So, wow, just like that. So you came up with CJ Cruz on the spot. Did the crowd take it well? Like, was the crowd into it?
I don't ever think the crowd noticed, because when CJ Cruz was born, CJ Taylor kind of died and fizzled out, you know, and I had stopped doing the Loverboy gimmick up in Maine, just because I was, you know, I was trying out something new and I wanted to see where I could take it. And luckily for me, CJ Cruz has worked out. I feel like CJ Cruz rolls off of somebody's tongue a lot better than CJ Taylor or CJ Castillo. So, you know, it worked. And because it worked, I just stuck with it.
Okay, that's really cool. What brought the idea of a Loverboy gimmick? Like, whose idea was that? Was that your idea? Was it your trainer's idea, the promoter's idea?
You know, I don't even know how it happened. I remember just kind of like just saying that I wanted to do something that was fun and something different. And, you know, I just was just talking, I think, to time, a couple buddies of mine, other wrestling buddies. And I was just like, what about this? Like, what if I was just try this just to see? And I tried it in one show, and it went over so good in Maine, because the fans in Maine love characters. They love, love, love characters. So it was a hit, and it worked. And I was like, God, this is great. But then I started to think a little more. I was like, you know, this is going to be harder for me to do other places. It's easy up here, but I want to challenge myself. I want to see if I can be a different character in other places. And I was able to do that with CJ Cruz, and I was able to be more of a fun guy, quirky guy, like, you know, a kid, so to speak.
The Loverboy gimmick you were saying in Maine, was that up in Limitless?
No, this was at like NAWA, which is a fellow wrestler by the name of Larry Huntley, who owns that company. And that's the only time I've really used the Loverboy gimmick was up there.
Okay.
I think I used him like maybe 10 or 12 times. And it, like I said, it was fun because I got, you know, I would go to Walmart and buy these fake roses. I would hand them out. And, you know, the fans would eat it all up and the kids loved it. But I had to think also, let's try something else. Let's try to see what I can do outside of this character and see where I can take this.
That's fantastic, man. Rewinding back, you know, quite a bit. How was your training? What made you, you know, what was the initial training like for you?
So I originally started training when I was 16 years old at the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. I think it had just come out of the CTC. at least a couple years or so. So I was, so when I came in, you know, Sasha Banks was still around. You know, I think this was way before guys like Donovan Dijak. So I started very young. I started at 16. I think I trained for about 4 to 5 months, and I blew my left knee out.
Oh.
I blew it right out. I couldn't walk for about 20, 25 minutes. And that was it. I went home. I was like, okay, I'll take a couple days off. I'll come back, you know, and do it again. And I went to another class, and it just it didn't function right. And I just remember being in so much pain that I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not doing this. I was like, that's it. I don't think I can do this. And I just walked away. And I think I walked away for about five years or so. I came back when I was 22. I was a lot older. I had, you know, I got my head together, and I got kind of my life somewhat together. So I was like, you know, let me give it another shot. The only problem was I weighed like 250 pounds. So I had to lose some weight in order to, you know, to hit the ropes and to take bumps and to not feel sore the next day. So, but I was able to lose like 30, 40 pounds, and I came back, and the rest is history from there.
Before, you know, before you came back to, you know, training for good, you know, and did it for good, did you go to college at all before? Like, did you like think to yourself, like, okay, maybe I can't wrestle. I want to do it eventually, but maybe I can't right now. Let me, you know, so, what was your mindset like at that point?
So I graduated high school. You know, I wasn't the smartest kid, but I wasn't the dumbest either. I graduated with, you know, average B's and C's and stuff like that, and a couple A's. So my mom was always like, go to college, go to college, go to college. At the time, I had gone to a vocational high school, so I was out on co-op, which is, for the people that don't know what co-op is you work 1 week out in the field, and the next week you're in classes. Well, I was with a really good contractor and stuff like that, and he told me to go to college, and I went. And I lasted for 2.5 weeks in college.
Huh.
And I said, screw it, I am not doing this, I am done, I can't sit in a classroom. You know, one thing is I have ADHD, so I can't be sitting in a classroom for 2.5, 3 hours on a Thursday at 6 o'clock.
Oh, hell yeah, neither can I, man. It sucked.
Yeah, it's like, I can't do it. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to make a career out of what I do for work. And that was it. With that same job, I was able to get my life together. I was able to go on vacations and buy my house and afford the new truck and afford a new camper. So, like, I was able to buy all that things from the career that I have now outside of wrestling.
Well, that's awesome, bro. Congratulations on that. And, you know, college isn't for everybody. The best thing about college is it's always going to be there. And there's so many options for, you know, for college. But we're not talking about school. We're talking about wrestling. after you know, you went back to train and everything, how long did it take you to get, you know, booked into your match? Now we're going to the beginning of the conversation where you talked about all these gimmicks.
So my very first show that I did was out of the blue. We had our school had rented our ring out, and one of the trainers had asked me, hey, are you available to drive the truck to the show and set up the ring? And I had said, sure, no problem. I can do that. And I drove the truck, and I got there, and I set the ring up. And that same day, they go, you're having a match tonight. And I, at that point, I was like, I had no idea that I was having a match. I was just like, oh, okay, no problem. And my tag team partner was this kid from New York. He was called, I think his name was the East Coast Player. I've never seen him again in my life. Like, I don't even know who he is. And, you know, we faced the Hoods, and it was my very first time, like, ever wrestling in front of a live audience, anything like that, and I was just so nervous. But I, you know, I had that first match, and I was all excited. I'm like, nice, yeah, I'm gonna get booked. And I think 3.5 months went with nothing. Nothing. I just didn't get booked anywhere and stuff like that. And I was like, what am I doing wrong? Like, well, you know, like, why is this the way it is? And, you know, I think it was D.L. Hurst who really was the one who was like, hey, you know what? Why don't you come with me to shows? Like, I came to him with, like, a couple shows and stuff like that. But then he was the one that really kind of told me, like, you know, you have to go out. You have to get on the – you have to show up at these shows and, you know, and help out and stuff like that and pay your dues. And then I think from there on out, once I started paying my dues and showing up to shows and helping set up and helping break it down is where I really started getting booked in other places.
After, you know, after you had that mindset, after, you know, you listened to, you know, got advice from some people and everything, which is always helpful, I'm assuming, you know, with new wrestlers. I'm sure you guys, you know, new wrestlers are always looking for, you know, just some advice that can help anything. You know, what were some of the promotions you got booked in?
The couple first ones that I did were Liberty States. I got to do a couple things at Chaotic because that was my home promotion. New England All-Star, NAWA, and I think that was it for the first couple of months.
Speaking of promotions, I know you wrestle a lot for Limitless and, you know, Chaotic. How long into your wrestling career did it take you for you to get booked into those? I know you previously said you wrestled for Chaotic a little bit.
So when I first started in Chaotic, I think I trained for about a year and like 2 months or 3 months, where Chaotic was like, hey, we're going to do this thing with AG. You're going to be his like stagehand sign guy kind of thing. And I run around the ring like a maniac with the sign. And that I did that for probably like 6 or 7 months.
Wow.
But my very first actual singles match in Chaotic was against Mike Verna. And that was in, what year were you in, 2018.
Okay. And how was that match for you?
It was such a rush because it was the first time I ever wrestled in front of a crowd, like especially for Chaotic because that's my home promotion. It was the first time I got to feel that energy as part of a Chaotic member, as part of the roster. And I remember I went out there. I was so nervous, but I had the match. And Mike Verna, he took care of me. He's such a great guy. But I got back through the curtain, and I was in tears because I knew that I had completed something. I did something that was good, and it was such a rush.
Would that be one of your favorite matches of your career against Mike Verna?
No, I wouldn't say it was my favorite, but it's definitely one of my more like probably one of the ones that I will remember the most, only because it was my first one in Chaotic. And I remember how I felt after I walked through the curtain and I came back, that feeling that I had meaning that I had accomplished something. But I have a couple favorite matches out there that I've been in.
Let's hear them.
So my favorite matches that I have wrestled in are, beyond a doubt, anything that I've done with Alec Price.
Yeah, you guys have some insane matches.
We definitely bring the best out of each other. And a lot of people don't realize it, but we're beating the crap out of each other. Every time we wrestle, we're beating the shit out of each other. I mean, we had a last man standing match, and I remember just being in so much pain after coming through the curtain.
That was at Limitless, right?
That was at a Let's Wrestle, yeah.
Let's Wrestle.
The sister company of Limitless.
Okay. And you guys just threw it down. I saw that match on, you know, YouTube. I'm not able to make it to those shows up in Maine. I really want to go up there, but man, like, that match was nuts.
It is such a long drive. It's like, it's about 3.5 hours.
From you or from?
From my house, it's about 3.5 hours.
Okay. What part of Maine is it in?
I live in Lowell, and that's up in Orono, Maine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I live in Connecticut. I don't know how far it is from...
You're about 5 hours away.
Yeah, so it's a drive. It's a drive, but a lot of people say it's worth it.
Yeah, they're good. They're really good shows. The Let's Wrestle shows are younger guys. Not, I wouldn't say necessarily younger guys, but people that have been in the business for a little while who are one, trying to reinvent themselves, or two, trying to find that niche that fits. And that's the best part about Let's Wrestle. And I give all the credit to Randy, who, like, you know, he sees this product and he just wants everybody to succeed. And you can tell that Randy really cares about the people that wrestle for him, and he just wants everybody to succeed.
Yeah, you can't ask really anything better from a promoter. That must be so reassuring just for a lot of the wrestlers who wrestle for Limitless.
Yeah, I hate the drives. I will say that. I hate the drive up there because it's super long and there's no scenery. It's just woods. But when I'm there and I'm in the locker room, it's so easy for me. And it's just, you know, it's like my second home, and I love it up there. And, you know, the fans up there are, you have to have that connection with those fans. And that's the one thing that the main crowd is you have to connect with those fans. If you don't connect to those fans, they eat you alive. And just Let's Wrestle fans, like if you can connect with them, you have them in the palm of your hands.
And that's something that, you know, wrestlers, I guess, you know, feels very good to do with the fans. You know, I guess it's, like, very reassuring for the wrestlers. What are some other promotions that you have not got to wrestle for but you will love to wrestle for?
NEW will be one. I think it's Battle Club or Battlefront in New York is another one. I'd like to get down to CCW. Just like those ones, the general areas, like Chikara, I'd like to get to Chikara too. And I also like to be back in Beyond as well.
You were saying CCW, man. I think the nerds, all the wrestling fans, want to see you and Alec Price throw it down in like a hardcore match there.
Sign it up.
Sign it up, man. Book it, man. We got to see it. What is the scariest moment that you have ever had in your wrestling career?
So I have two. My first one was I was in a tag team match. It was me and my tag partner, Ricky Archer, against Trips, the OG, and Royce Bischoff. And it was at a Chaotic show. And I do this weird step-up moonsault where I'm standing on the apron and I climb up to the top rope. And I turn in midair and I do a moonsault. Well, the building was hot that day, and the place was, like, there was so much humidity in the building that I knew that the ropes were a little, you know, they were moist, they were kind of wet. Yeah. I was like, you know, I got this, don't worry about it. And I went and I climbed up, and I went for this moonsault, and my right foot slipped off the top of the rope, and I landed right on my head.
Oh, fuck, man. Oh, God. And what was your mindset there? Like, holy, like, I would have been scared shitless if I was at that show. Like, I would have been like, holy shit, is he okay? Like, fuck.
So, I was fine. Everything went numb for a minute. For a couple minutes, I think everything went numb. It definitely sent the shockwaves to the bottom of my toes, I'll tell you that. The worst part was my mom, my aunt, my uncle, my cousins, my nieces were all in the crowd. So, they were all scared shitless. But I was fine. I was able to get up and walk afterwards. But for the 2 minutes after that had happened, I don't think I could feel my toes.
Damn.
I couldn't feel anything.
Jesus. Well, like, you know, I'm glad you're okay after that. How long did the match, you know, go for after that spot?
Probably another 3 minutes or so.
Did you guys win or did you guys lose?
No, we didn't win. We lost.
Darn. And I know that you and Ricky Archer, man, do you guys still tag team up in Chaotic?
Yeah, we're mainly just tag team in Chaotic. We've tagged at Let's Wrestle once, and we tagged at another show, PAWA in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
We've tagged there once. But yeah, it's mainly just in Chaotic.
Basically, so yeah, you guys are just known up in Chaotic. Okay.
Yeah.
What is, like, out of all the wrestling matches there are, because there's a lot, what match type do you not like at all? Like, just absolutely despise?
Oh, I think those death matches, I'm not a fan of death matches. I don't ever want to be in one. it's just one of those things where, you know, I'll watch it. I'll be as hell as entertained, but for me to be in one, I don't think I could ever do it. I don't think I could ever cross that line to do it.
You know, I watch it. I watch wrestling, and, you know, I love wrestling, but death matches are crazy. Like, holy shit. Like, they're nuts. It's just,
you know, wow. I'll tell you something about those death match guys is they are the toughest son of a bitches on this planet you will ever meet.
Taking thumbtacks in the back on what are those called, the whatever those sharp things are that people like stick in their head.
Oh yeah, those circle things.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. After this podcast is over, I'll go, that was it. Shit, I should have said that. You know, yeah. You're right, man. There's some tough SOBs out there. It's just
they're the toughest of the toughs, and I give them all props for being able to do that kind of wrestling, and it amazes me how they're able to do it and how they can get up afterwards and walk out of there, because I'd be crying like a little girl.
Yeah, like they get up like it's nothing. Like, I'm pretty sure they're sore, but they're getting up like, yep, okay, I'm used to it. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, God. Yeah. Who's your dream opponent, and where would you want to wrestle this dream opponent?
Let's see. Dream opponent?
Yes.
My dream opponent would it'll never ever happen, but my dream opponent would be Shawn Michaels, just hands down, because of, I looked up to him as I was a kid growing up, and I love the way he works, and he's such a good worker in the ring. I couldn't imagine being in the same ring with him.
I mean, you never know, bro. I mean, he could come to an indie show, take a booking for like a meet and greet. You know, he could come in the ring, cut a promo. You could be the bad guy. You could talk shit, and you could just eat a sweet chin music. Like, right there. Like, that would be pretty cool.
Oh, that'd be a defining moment, is right.
And I would hope you would sell the shit out of it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Pay like a massive bump.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Speaking of Shawn Michaels, man, what are some of your favorite Shawn Michaels matches?
Oh, I just watched one, and it was my favorite, all-time favorite Shawn Michaels match is Undertaker and him at WrestleMania 25.
Excellent match.
That was probably one of my favorite Shawn Michaels matches.
Good match right there, man. 26 was good. 26 was a good match as well.
Yeah, 26 was good, but 25 to me, there was something special about 25 that it always drew to my attention. It always caught my eye.
You know, that's awesome. It's crazy to think, like, when you, as a wrestling fan, people ask, you know, what's your favorite matches? And if you could recall a match 10 years ago, and say, you know, 10 years later, that's the greatest match I've ever seen. Those wrestlers 100% did something right. You know, it's crazy.
Absolutely.
You know, another one of my favorite, personally one of mine, you know, is that one too. And you know, I was a big fan of Shawn Michaels versus Shelton Benjamin in the Gold Rush tournament in Raw, I think in 2005.
If I'm not mistaken. Big hurt around the world.
Yo, dude, holy shit, man. What a super kick, man. I still watch it and I cringe over it. I go, oof, man, Benjamin's a monster for taking that.
He's an unbelievable talent. So athletic. It's unbelievable he's been around as long as he has. And, you know, I definitely do feel like he is one of those guys that has been, you know, people have been sleeping on and they don't know what he's really capable of, but Shelton Benjamin is one of those talents.
You know, when you say Shelton Benjamin, people remember him from, you know, like the highlight reel from the Money in the Bank matches.
Yes.
You know, he's so good in the Money in the Bank matches. Like, holy shit, dude. He's good. And it sucks they're not doing much with him now. I mean, it is what it is, you know, We can only hope to see how these wrestlers do, but like I said, it is what it is.
You just hope and keep watching and, you know, keep enjoying. That's it.
Exactly, man. 100%. Going back to your career, man, this is a question from a fellow nerd. Who is your favorite opponent that you have ever faced?
My favorite right now is definitely Alec Price. My second was my all-time favorite is probably JT Dunn right now.
Okay.
Because he definitely brought something out in me that I didn't think that I could do, and he definitely probably one of my favorite opponents, just because he brought so much out of me. My favorite person to have matches with, I would have to say, is Alec Price, because every time we wrestle, we are trying to figure out ways to make the next match better than the one before.
That says a lot for wrestlers, man. I got to ask, like, because I know a lot of wrestlers, you know, I talk to, they go, oh, you know, one of the wrestlers I talked to, he says one of his matches he planned spot for spot for spot, and it didn't come out good at all. Do you and Alec Price plan spot for spot for spot, or do you sometimes just, you know, wing it and go out there? I know some spots you have to plan.
You know, it's like a story. The couple times that we have wrestled, you know, our first one was very down to the nitty grid, but our last one was just, let's try this, let's try that, all right, I'll see you out there, that's it.
There you go, like, and most of it is just, you know, kind of improv?
Yeah, for the most part.
All right. Would you say...
Just a feeling, you know, it's feeling it out there and being able to work with the crowd and being able to work with your opponent, and that's the one thing that I've been able to do with him.
Yeah, it definitely depends on how the crowd is reacting to the match, for sure. Would you say that's, like, the biggest pop in your career, wrestling, you know, Alec Price in those matches?
My biggest pop?
Yeah.
It's probably one of the bigger ones, but definitely not the biggest.
What was the biggest crowd pop you ever had in your career? That is another question from a fellow nerd.
My biggest pop was at a Limitless show. It was me and Josh Briggs against Hammerstone and JT.
Ooh,
and it was
wow.
A part in the match where I came in and I broke up a pinfall. And Hammerstone grabs me from my chin hairs.
Oh, shit.
And I just start wailing these right haymakers and start smacking him in the chest. Here comes JT Dunn, and I start beating the shit out of him. And I'm going back and forth on both of them, and I could hear the crowd erupting behind me and getting louder and louder and louder. And it got to the point where, like, it was ringing in my head how loud the crowd was. And when I took off and I hit those ropes and they cut me off with a big boot, you could feel the air leave everybody's, like, just the air left the arena, because everybody was just like, oh. And you can hear how quiet it was. It was the biggest reaction I've ever gotten. And it was, like, still to this day, sometimes I go back and I watch the footage and I'm like, wow, like, what a reaction, like, to be able to get to that point and have those people in the palm of my hands. Like, it was just such an unreal moment.
That is awesome. I definitely got to check that match out, for sure. This is the last question from our nerds. What is your favorite move to do?
The acai moonsault.
Acai moonsault.
It's my favorite, and it's probably one of the most scariest. The acai moonsault is when I'm standing on the outside of the apron and I springboard up to the second and I just do a big backflip to the audience.
How the hell did you learn that? Like, holy, if I tried that, it would not end well for me at all.
You know, just being at class and just, you know, screwing around with the mat and doing it inside the ring. And one show I was just like, you know what, I'm going to do it and I'm going to hope for the best and hopefully these people catch me and I don't break a leg. And that was it. From there on, you know, I don't do it every show because I don't like doing it sometimes, but it's probably one of my more favorite moves to do, just because it's it always gets the crowd behind me.
Yeah, just like pull out your arsenal here and there and just do it. Yeah, like I would be scared shitless, but you know, kudos to you, bro, for doing that, man. I don't know. I don't even want to know what's going through your mind when you're doing it, dude. Like, you must be like, oh, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit.
The first couple times I did it, I was kind of like, I was very nervous, and you know, I was very nervous on how far I was gonna get and how high I was gonna go, but. Every show that went on and every show I did it, you know, I was able to conquer it a little more and not feel fear and not feel anything. You know, one of the last shows that I did it at, there's a picture of me floating around and I'm so high in the air that I must have been at least 5 feet above, at least 4 or 5 feet above the top rope in midair. And unreal how high I was.
Damn, that's awesome, man. Like, that's awesome, man. That's really cool. Dude, this has been so much fun talking to you, man. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and chatting it up with me.
Absolutely, man.
Really quick, man, before we end, drop some plugs. Where can the Nerds of Wrestling find you?
All right, Facebook at I am CJ Cruz. On Twitter, _ CJ Cruz 28 _ and then on Instagram it is _CJ_Cruz if I'm correct.
There you go, man. That's it, nerds. CJ, thank you again, bro. Stay safe out there and hopefully I see you soon at some shows.
Absolutely, brother. Take care.
All right, you too, buddy. And that concludes this episode on the Nerds of Wrestling podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for more future episodes. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio. Peace out, nerds.